This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for February 5th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the stories and comments from the hits and takes section. The law firm of Vinson and Elkins has appointed Alan Schoenberg as Global Director of Public Relations and Corporate Affairs. Schoenberg was most recently Senior Vice President, Corporate Communications and Social Media for NASDAQ. This is a big forward-looking move for Schoenberg, getting into the law firm commodity energy space as the world moves towards more green energy. It is a big step for Vinson and Elkins to hire one of the leading corporate communications and social media visionaries to help them emerge from the law practice pack. Congratulations to Alan on his new job. We wish you the best. And to our friends at NASDAQ, he has left you an incredible legacy to continue. Longtime industry lawyer Paul Buscher Ulanop passed away on January 30, 2021 at the age of 84. His obituary is posted in today's newsletter, one from Donilon Funeral Home and one from his former law firm, Lawrence Kamen. The Intercontinental Exchange, known informally as ICE, has secured the ICE.com website and will move email addresses to ICE.com from theice.com on March 1st, 2021. They announced in an email from a theice.com email address, www.ice.com is already up and running. Speaking of ICE, FOW has a headline and a story, ICE to retain 65% interest in BACT, according to Jeff Sprecher. The CME has issued a press release with the names of the slate of director nominees led by Terry Duffy. CME Group also has a webinar to teach people about their new Ether contract titled Getting Started with Ether Futures. The webinar will be led by CME Group Director of Education, David Lehrman, who will review the fundamentals behind the contract, different Ether futures trading examples, and recent Ether price action. In addition, Lehrman will cover the evolution of institutional participation in the cryptocurrency market and the Ether investor ecosystem. The webinar is on February 18th, 2021 at 10 a.m. Central Time, and you can get additional information at events at CME Group. The FT's U.S. investment editor, Michael McKenzie, has a commentary in today's newspaper titled, Beware the Madness of Markets, From Tulips to GameStop. Retail investors usually end up losers in speculative booms. McKenzie, a former derivatives broker for Tullett and Tokyo in Hong Kong, London, Toronto, New York, and Tokyo, writes that, quote, siren call of minting fabulous riches from the tap of a share trading app recalls past speculative manias down the ages that all ended badly, misallocating capital, wiping out savings, and scarring investors. SGX has issued this notice on their website. At February 5th, 2021 at 6:55 p.m., please be informed that due to website maintenance, there will be intermittent access to our website from 8 a.m. on February 6th, 2021 to 8 p.m. on February 7th, 2021. We apologize for any inconvenience caused. The Wall Street Journal has a story about the Super Bowl commercials and has an early look at some we will see during Sunday's game. The lemon of the year from Budweiser is my early winner, though M&M's has a couple of strong ones too. We've had three new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Michael Shore, Scott Eisner, and Robert Schaefer donated to our efforts to preserve industry history. Michael Shore is the Executive Director of Communications for the OCC, home of many JLN supporters. Michael is a former CME Group communications professional who has also had stops at Magnetar Capital, William Blair, and Motorola Solutions. Scott Eisner is a longtime industry executive I first encountered when he was CFO at Gerald Commodities, where I was a broker. Scott was also the COO of Iowa Grain and CFO of Haymeyer Plus Trading Plus Investments. Robert is a veteran metals trader and a member of COMEX since 1987. He successfully moved to become a screen trader in 2006. Thank you to Michael, Scott, and Robert, and to all who have given and all who have yet to give. Sarah Rudolph reports NASDAQ chief economist Phil McIntosh's latest column is the timely How Short Selling Works, which answers questions such as, how can a stock be more than 100% shorted? You can read the column here in today's newsletter. Also, Suzanne Cosgrove says next week's Cboe's Options Institute webinar on trading strategies using mini index futures and options is apparently a hot ticket. Cboe's Matt Moran says 350 people have already signed up for the February 10th event. A registration link is available in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a video in the Path to Electronic Trading series. This one, an interview of John Vanderbleek. John Vanderbleek got his start in the markets after working for a hospital part-time with someone later hired at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange as an employment manager. He began as a price reporter at the CME, and the minute he saw the trading floor, he knew is where he wanted to be, and he gave up his aspirations for law school. After working for the CME, he tried his hand at trading there in the S&P pit with his own money. That did not work out as well as he hoped. The rest of this story and the video is available on johnlamathiannews.com. Don't forget to register for the FIA Boca Conference at FIA.org. This year, it's a virtual conference. Here's a story from Bloomberg, how a dated cyber attack brought a stock exchange to its knees. DDoS attacks, the cyber equivalent of being mugged, grew in size and sophistication. The website of the New Zealand Stock Exchange slowed to a crawl on a Tuesday afternoon in August. It was so badly throttled that the exchange couldn't post market announcements as required by financial regulators. So with an hour left for trading, management shut the entire operation down. It didn't take long to figure out what happened. The website had been overwhelmed by a tsunami of offshore digital traffic. An email from the perpetrators made clear that it was a malicious attack. My comment, be prepared. Prepared for what? For any old thing. Here's a story from the FT. Wall Street firms paid almost $3 billion last year for retail brokers' trades. Payment for order flow attracts attention of lawmakers and regulators in Washington. Wall Street trading firms paid almost $3 billion to retail traders such as Robinhood to handle their trades last year, a practice that is attracting rising scrutiny in Washington. Monthly regulatory filings collated by Bloomberg show payment for order flow earned U.S. brokers $2.9 billion in 2020. TD Ameritrade generated fees of $1.1 billion between its broker-dealer and clearing divisions, while Robinhood grew fastest, earning fees of almost $700 million. My comment, follow the money. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal as well. How to make sense of GameStop. The internet turns to beer and puppets. The Reddit-fueled market frenzy has inspired a flurry of TikTok videos, memes, and online explainers. To help explain the complexity of the GameStop market frenzy, Brianna Parkins turned to two tall cans of Guinness, a sad-looking gray dog puppet, and a pile of candy. In her series of short TikTok explainers, Ms. Parkins cast the puppet as a hedge fund manager looking to short a can of Guinness, reaping profits that would be the candy along the way. A white plaster statue enters the scene representing the popular Reddit forum Wall Street Bets and buys up not one but two cans of Guinness. This is bad news for your hedge fund, she says, waving the puppet to the camera. My comment, they had me at beer. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Reddit revolt makes St. Petersburg bourse Russia's busiest. Volumes on SPB hit $36 billion in January amid GameStop mania. Russians piled into Reddit targets among 1,500 securities. A stock exchange founded in Russian President Vladimir Putin's hometown just became the busiest venue for equity trading in the country, thanks in part to last week's retail trader frenzy in the U.S. Stock volumes on the St. Petersburg Exchange, which lets investors buy and sell foreign shares directly via their Russian brokerage accounts, surpassed those of the Moscow Exchange for the first time on record last month. Trading on the SPB, as it's known, climbed 14% in January to $36.1 billion. The Moscow Exchange, which focuses on Russian securities, saw the equivalent of $30.2 billion change hands. My comment, follow the money. Here's a story from Brad Rosen of Jim Hamilton's World of Securities Regulation. Commentary and musings on the complex, fascinating, and peculiar world that is securities regulation. On the Biden administration's first full day in office, the members of the CFTC elected Commissioner Rossen Benham as acting chairman, effective immediately. Benham, who was the longest-serving commissioner affiliated with the Democratic Party, began his term on September 8, 2017. It expires on June 19, 2021. Despite a change in power in Washington, D.C., the Republican commissioners will continue to maintain a 3-2 edge at the CFTC until such time a third Democrat is nominated and confirmed by the Senate, be that a permanent chairman or another commissioner. My comment, Here's the press release from Vincent and Elkins. Vincent and Elkins appoints Alan Schoenberg as Global Director of Public Relations and Corporate Affairs. Vincent and Elkins today announced that Alan Schoenberg has joined the firm as Global Director of Public Relations and Corporate Affairs. Schoenberg, who brings 30 years of marketing and communications experience to the role, will work closely with the firm leadership to develop and implement strategic public relations initiatives to increase market prominence for the firm's brand. He will also be responsible for various internal and external communications regarding key client activities, firm and community initiatives, and attorney developments and achievements. Schoenberg most recently served as Senior Vice President, Corporate Communications and Social Media for NASDAQ. My comment, Alan Schoenberg was the person who pushed for me to get onto Twitter. He helped us organize the first Twitter panel for the industry, and that led to the industry getting on Twitter. Here are the top three most read stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was my story, John Lothian, a futures trader's confession. Second was the Vermiculous announcement, the first microservices-based clearing system with AI capabilities. Third was the Financial Times, the Robin Hood drama, teaches us to look beneath the surface. Your crypto markets wiki coin of the week is Uniswap. Uniswap is outperforming other decentralized or DEX exchanges, according to Dun Analytics. The DEX market analytics company in January 2021, the total trading volume on DEX reached an all-time high of over $50 billion in digital assets traded. Uniswap accounted for 48.8% of total transactions on DEXs. Its governance token, UNI, or UNI, exceeded the previous all-time high on January 1st, 2021. Here are your MarketsWiki statistics today. The site now has 199,576,347 pages viewed, with 25,331 pages in the site. There have been 229,994 edits. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps more listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.